Welcome back to another edition of the Devil's Mic. This your boy John Zapata, and today and Ella got a special interviewer.
say the Devil's Mic.
Today we got Daniel Bass out of San Antonio, Texas, and we're going to talk to him a little bit today about, you know, his projects he has going on, this upcoming compilation. So here he is, man. How's it going?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. No, I'm glad to have you on the show. You know, trying to get this out, like I said, you know, last night, messaging, you know, as much as we can, help out the, you know, help out the cause and all of that. So, you know, glad to have you on.
Yeah, man, it's good to be on. I like what you got going on, you know, trying to spread that message of the local scene and get everybody involved. And that's I like it. It's good stuff, man.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Whenever we started this, me and my partner Daniel, we had this vision that while we're at work, and we're just like, you know, we need to do something, because we both like have the same taste in music, and you know, it started off as like a podcast idea, but we didn't have like the tools to necessarily make it a podcast. So my dad had this old camera and was like, I asked him, I was like, hey, you know, are you using this? Can I use it? And we started shooting interviews. So that's where it started, and trying to help these, you know, local bands, and, you know, help them get their word out, because they can only reach so much, you know, so many people doing shows and all of that. And especially during this time, it's like definitely much needed, because venues are closing, you know, they can't go out, you got to stay in. So, but yeah, let's go ahead and go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us what, you know, what you do, you know, as far as like your projects go, the different kinds, because I know you're like in a couple different bands, or you were in another band. And so let's go ahead and start there.
Yeah, man. So I used to front a Christian metal band called Becoming Sons. Mm-hmm. I left them about a little over a year ago. I ended up starting a project with a friend that I had met. His name is John McInnes. I got started with him, and we started what the band that I have now is called West Creek. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely more of like a hard rock, you know, rock radio kind of music.
Yeah.
A little bit more mainstream. And, you know, me and him, we're both, you know, metalheads.
Right.
So we definitely have our heavier songs, and we had a heavy song that we were going to have JC come and do some, you know, heavier vocals on.
Right.
And that's how I kind of got in touch with him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He came over, laid down some vocals, and then that kind of later on evolved to what we have now, which is the Daniel Bass compilation CD, where he kind of got a bunch of vocalists from around.
Right.
And it just, you know, it kind of just blew up from there, man. Mm-hmm. You know, once he kind of got the idea of doing it, it just, mm-hmm. He took off with it, and he's like, all right, man, I got this singer. And I was kind of blown away at first, man. I was a little intimidated, because I mean, you heard From Graves, man. I mean, they got good quality stuff, you know? Yeah. So I was like, all right, you know, the local big boys are going to be coming to my little humble home studio, so I got to step up my game.
Right. That's tight, man. I mean, this is, like I said before, you know, JC's the type of guy that, you know, once he has a vision, or, you know, you give him a task, he's going to do everything he can to, you know, kind of make it what he envisions it, and, you know, go above and beyond what people expect.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to just, you know, go for it and just give it all he got. I thought you were the one that put all the vocalists together, and I was going to call you the rock game Nick Fury, but I guess that's all Julian. We got the Avengers coming.
Yeah. Julian's the one who he's the one who had the reach, man. He's the one who knew these people.
Right.
You know, and a fun fact, I'm not trying to put him on the spot, but Paul, the one that we saw the video just a while ago, he told me, he's like, man, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but he's like, I didn't know who the hell you were, and I didn't know if I wanted to be part of this. I'm like, dude, I completely understand. Like, right. I'm nobody, you know? So, mm-hmm. But he, you know, he gave me a chance, and that's what we got, man. So I'm definitely proud of that.
Yeah, you should be. 'Cause that was a killer video, killer song. It's just all around, like, it's just real tight, it's all put together very well. I like Thanks, the theme, man. And everything. And it's just, one of those. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that theme, the whole theme, you know, the Scarface theme and the video, the lyrical content, that was all Paul, man. Like, he was like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, dude, do what you want, man. Like, you know, I know what it's like to be in West Creek and to try and stick to a certain, sound or visual that we're trying to stick to. Right. I was like, this is a side project for both me and you. Like, let's do what we don't normally do. So, man, he just came with the whole video idea and everything, which it's funny because, I can write music for days. I mean, not every song is great or anything, but I have no problem writing music. But when it comes to the visual part of it, I'm just like, I don't know, man.
That's always been tough
for me. So, I mean, he's the one who had the vision, you know, from the get-go. He knew how it wanted to be. I mean, I remember the first day he came in to track vocals, he was like, man, I'm picturing a video like this and like this. And, you know, I mean, that's pretty much what we got. You know, he had it from the get-go. So, I mean, you know, shout out to him, man. He definitely saw the end product on the visual aspect that I couldn't see. So,
yeah. For sure. Yeah, he killed that. I mean, the whole, as soon as it started, like, you know, I got the bad guy and I was like, okay. And then saw what he was wearing. I was like, hold up, Scarface. And sure enough, I was like, dude, this is freaking top notch. But, you know, that's kind of cool how, you know, like you said, it's like a side project for you. It's a side project for me. So let me bring what I got, what I'm, you know, here to do to the table. And then you bring what you got and let's, you know, combine our you know, creativity together to make what we got.
Yeah, and it's cool, man. I definitely like that, you know. And the good thing is too, I mean, like, outside of the video aspect, is it's pretty much what I had with every other vocalist on here is, you know, what do you want to do, man? It's all up to you. And that's pretty cool. Everybody brought their A game, as well as I definitely tried to bring my A game. So It worked out, man. I can't wait for everybody to hear the full thing, you know, and the concept.
For sure. Yeah, we're ready for it, man. We're ready for it. But before we, you know, continue on with the compilation talk, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, Becoming Sons. You know, it was a Christian rock band, like you said. Is that, you know, are you a Christian? Are you a man of faith? Or was that something that, you know, you and a buddy kind of came together with? Or
So Becoming Sons, at least, it was the drummer and the bass player, Roger Stack and Brian Derby. They're the ones who started that project.
Right.
I answered an ad on Craigslist. They were looking for a vocalist, and I was like, I mean, I don't know if I'm good vocalist, but I'll try. And went in audition and you know, ended up joining them. Nice. Later on, I ended up, you know, I'm a guitar player first, and I've started to sing. Then that's another thing. Yeah. I mean, I go to church and I sing at church on Sundays. So today I was up there, you know, playing the acoustic guitar and singing some songs.
Yeah.
So I started getting into the singing realm a little bit. But I like heavy metal and hard rock. So I started pushing into that, joined Becoming Sons. So I was an addition and, you know, brought what I did and I ended up, I was able to record Becoming Sons' first CD. So we did that at the bass player's house and then we finished it at my house. So I was the mixer behind that. So that was definitely fun, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to get better, man. You got to really just keep doing it to get better. And I listened to some of my mixes from a year ago, 2 years ago, and they've definitely have gotten better. So I can, you know, it's only up from here as long as I keep doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing though. It's like whatever craft that people, you know, are working at or, you know, whatever they have in mind, you know, you're not going to always get it the first time, you know, you got to find, you know, what you're good at and, you know, kind of build off of that. So there's always going to be improvements that need to be made, you know, even like the best of the best, there's still always something they could work on or they can make better that way, you know, they can master it fully.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah. And then let's go ahead and hop into, just as far as you being a musician, I know you said you're a guitarist first. How long you been playing guitar or how long you been, you know, musically inclined?
Yeah. The first time I picked up guitar was 2002. And it was funny. I was at my father's house and one time, you know, we were there. He picked me up for the weekend and he was like, you want to play guitar? And I'm like, that'd be cool. You know, that'd be cool. And, you know, he ended up buying me a guitar pretty soon after that. And I remember having the guitar for like 6 months and like never touching it. Cause I was like, I don't know, you know, I don't know if I'm going to like rock and roll. I used to listen to hip hop and stuff.
Yeah.
But I ended up, one of my mom's cousin's husband, he ended up buying me Guitar World magazine. Mm-hmm. And it has like 6 songs in the back. And I was like, well, you know, I know how to read tablatures, so let me see if I can learn a song. And it kind of just, it just started snowballing from there, man. I really just started taking it on. I used to get in trouble from my Spanish teacher in junior high because she would be like, why didn't you do your homework? And I was like, I'm practicing guitar. So
I was like, what do you want me to do? I'm playing guitar right now.
I remember they had the little, you know, parent teacher conference or whatever. And they're like, you know that your son says that he plays guitar and he doesn't do his homework. And my mom was like laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but of course, you know, she gave me that look like, hey man, you need to, you know, get your school stuff right. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, dude, I loved it. I was really into it. Like a little fun little fact was, one time my mother grounded me, and I was in my room, so I was grounded, like nothing to do. And of course, this was like before smartphones and stuff.
Right.
So I was in my room, and I sat down, man. It took me 8 hours, but I learned "Pride and Joy" by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Man.
So I was like, okay, like I dig. I mean, it was hard, you know, but that's what I did with my being grounded time. And
use it to your advantage.
And it's definitely helped, like, I guess, mold and sculpt my sound. Right. You know, because I do, you know, hard rock, heavy metal, but my first solo or you know, really just going at the guitar was Stevie Ray Vaughan. So if I do solo stuff on a metal track or a hard rock track, there's definitely a lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan and then also Santana kind of vibes in that. Right. So that's kind of where I started, like with my playing, was those two guys.
Yeah. And you got to find those people too, because it's like, you know, what do they do that I like? Or, you know, because you don't want to play nothing that you don't enjoy. You know what I'm saying? So to know what you liked at an early age was good. You know, it was good to get you where you are today. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. I liked Malmsteen too, but I couldn't learn his stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, good guitarists out there, and you know, sure, a lot of the stuff's hard to play, you know, but you'll get there. It only takes time. Yeah. Now, are you the type of person that, you know, is really into like working on scales or like kind of like the music theory aspect of playing?
Nah, so I did actually understand music theory. I was in band in high school. I understood theory, scales. I didn't really go into modes because that's a little bit more like guitar oriented. But I understood some basic theory. I just never applied it to the guitar. I played trombone in high school, so
hey.
I could come, yeah,
trombone game.
So you know, I could do scales all day, man. I had no problem with that on the trombone. I never transferred it to the guitar, so the guitar. Pretty much the guitar when I play, it's kind of like feel, man. I was never the guy to, like, you know, sit down and warm up to scales. I never learned that.
Right.
I was real, like, I didn't have a lot of patience. So if I didn't pick it up quick, I pretty much didn't do it again.
Right.
So the stuff that I did pick up kind of quick, I kind of kept going in that realm, and I was very comfortable with my playing. Yeah. Long ago, where I was like, I'm good, you know, I don't need to learn anymore.
Right.
But you know, having gotten older and getting introduced to more music, you definitely want to stay, you want to stay on it, you know, because you could definitely lose your chops.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I know theory, but I don't apply it to the guitar. The guitar is pretty much just like, man, what feels good, what sounds good,
right?
You know, what moves people, because that's what people want to hear.
Yeah. You know? Yep, for sure.
That's what I want to hear, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you want to feel it. You don't want to just say, oh, he did this because it only makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Nothing like that. It doesn't sound good. Does it feel good? All right, let's roll.
Let's do this. Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, that's a cool little fact, man. Yeah, I played trombone in high school, too.
Nice.
Middle school and high school, man. You know, made that region band. You know, I was okay. Yeah. And I was going to play in college, but, you know, yeah, we won't talk. Yeah, I get, well, I got talked out of, you know, doing music in college, and it was probably like one of my regrets that I have, you know, because I really love doing music and I love playing music at the time, but, you know, I was with someone and you know how that goes. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm here and doing my thing still. So,
yeah, I mean, everything worked out the way it did for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So from there, let's go ahead and move on to West Creek. So I want to talk about that video a little bit that, you know, I streamed yesterday, even though it got muted, but, you know, just watching it and hearing the message was, you know, it was pretty powerful. Was that kind of like an on the spot thing where it just kind of like came to you and you were like, you know, hey, let's, you know, let's do this song and let's have, you know, these kind of visuals in the music video.
That's the one, just to clarify, that's the one where we have the Spanish in the verses.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, man. I guess to kind of give the real truth behind that, so the guy who does the rapping in Spanish in the verses, it's not me. Mm-hmm. He is John's brother-in-law. So the guitar player for West Creek, he's his brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And John heard him rapping one time at a family get-together. And he was like, hey, man, hear me out. I got this idea. Let's have some Spanish rapping in the verses. And I'm like, I legit told him no. I didn't have to think about it. I was just kind of like, man, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm not into it, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, man, like, let me explain it to you. I'm like, go for it. You know, I'm open for ideas. I don't want to normally shut down stuff, but something like that, I wasn't into it. And he kind of explained it to me, and I was like, all right, man, like I kind of see what you're getting. And at least from a marketing standpoint, I think it's cool, because that song, like, there's not a lot of music out there like that. You know, there's not a lot of rapping in Spanish and then singing. And then it's like a hard rock, but kind of like a chill vibe in the verses.
Right.
So I definitely saw that it was original, you know, and original is what gets people noticed, originality. So yeah, we ended up going that route. He talked me into it. I started recording some demo stuff, sent it to him, and I sent him a chorus vocally, and he was like, I'm not really feeling the chorus. I'm like, damn, dude, like I always send him choruses and he shoots me down, you know. But I trust the man's ear, man. He's definitely got a good ear, and my writing has become a lot better with him. So you know, I listen to him, like, try another verse. All right, you know, let's do it. Worst case scenario, it's not as good. We'll go with the first one.
Right.
But I wrote a second chorus, and that ended up being the chorus that's on the song. So the first one he shot down for me, that I was like, damn, like, why'd he shoot it down? That ended up not making it. So having heard it in retrospect, it's like, you know, he made a good call. You know, he's got that ear, and that's, you know, that goes back to where we were talking about playing by feeling and hearing and vibe, you know. And he had that vibe, he had that feeling on the second chorus that I sent him. So it kind of just went from there, and it was like, I know it kind of came out with you know, all the social issues that are happening right now in the US.
Right.
It kind of plays into that. But like one of the big, I guess, influences. So like in the bridge of that song, you can hear a guy talking like on a bullhorn.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually in, his brother-in-law, in his, home country of, Ecuador. There were some social issue that happened over there, kind of like what's happening here.
Right.
And, you know, one thing that we've learned by showing a few people here and there is we're talking to another lady who did a track for us that we're going to release soon, later this month. She did some vocals for us, and she heard the song. She's like, man, I really feel it, because this is what's happening in Venezuela. And it's like, man, like, this stuff is happening all over the world, you know, and it's these social issues are happening all over the world, not just here in the US. And so that kind of more solidified me being behind the song, because it's like more people are going to feel it, more people are going to hear it, and it's not just to the US, it's to, you know, North America and South America, especially having that, you know, the Spanish in it too.
Right.
One thing that we ran into was, is there going to be a language barrier because it's in Spanish? Because when I first heard, we sent him the song with the chorus,
right,
and he did a little rap, sent it back to us, and I first heard it and I was like, I don't know what he's saying.
Me either. Yeah,
but I feel it, man. Like,
yeah,
I can feel that passion, and
right,
and I was like, if I can feel it, people can feel it too. Like,
yes.
I don't have to know what he's saying, but I know that whatever he's talking about, he means it from the bottom of his heart.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we liked with our music, is we want to have real stuff. We want to have stuff people can relate to, can have that, you know, move emotion in you.
Right.
And we definitely got it with that track, man. So
yeah,
I'm definitely proud of that one. Like, if you would have told me a year ago, hey, man, you're going to have a song with some Spanish rapping, I'm like, I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about, dude?
You crazy hell. Yeah.
But no, man, it worked out good. I'm definitely proud of that song being out of my normal comfort zone. I mean, and then, yeah, that goes back to, that's where you grow, man. You got to grow by doing stuff you don't normally do. And
right,
that definitely, you know, helped to that point.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't be scared to go outside the box. You know, you can't just stay in your comfort zone. You got to get uncomfortable, you know, in order to grow. So that's a big move right there. And the thing is, like you were saying, you know, I didn't understand what he was saying, even though it was in Spanish. But at the same time, it's like I felt that song, like the whole song itself, especially with the chorus in it too. Mm-hmm. You know, it really gives you that vibe of, you know, we're gonna come out of this, you know, stronger than ever, basically. And like you said, it's not just for what's going on here in the U.S. because, you know, social issues happen everywhere. For sure. Whoever gets a hold of it, they're going to be like, you know, I feel this song and I can relate to this song. You know, my country, my city can relate to this song. And, you know, like you said, it's different. So it's good to be different sometimes. So,
yeah. And to that effect, too, was we didn't necessarily write it for the issues here in the U.S.
Right.
We wrote it before any of that stuff went down. I think he wrote it in January or February.
Okay.
So it was pre-corona and everything, man.
Yeah.
You know, it was normal day to day back then. We wrote it, but it had it still had that message, that when all this stuff went down here, it just applied that much more, after everything happened here. So,
right.
Yeah. You know, we didn't write it for the purpose of what was going on here. We wrote it because, I mean, that's the way we felt. That's what, you know, writing about that real stuff again, about what people can feel.
Yep.
We were just writing a song and it just so happened to kind of, you know, work with what's going on. So that kind of, you know, I guess maybe can work to our advantage, you know, because then people will kind of understand it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it definitely, we didn't write it because of the stuff going on, you know.
Gotcha.
We just wrote it because, hey, man, this is a real message right here and let's put it out.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. That makes sense. And, you know, you guys weren't the only one that did it too. You know, Kingdom Collapse had that song Uprise. Mm-hmm. They had that song way before everything started going down. And like you said, it everything just fits. And, you know, it's like, you know, pretty much the same messages, you know, uprising and things like that. But, you know, it's cool that bands and artists, they still write about real stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the music I like to gravitate towards, you know, is, you know, based on real life situations or issues or stuff that I can relate to. And a lot of people that, you know, get a hold of that stuff, they'll be able to pass it on and they'll say, you know, this song got me through X, Y, Z, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. And I think that kind of, you know, that kind of goes back in, like, regarding the Christian realm, like when I was in Becoming Sons, is there's a message behind that music. And even now, although West Creek is not a Christian band, you know, I'm still a Christian person and I'm still going to push, you know, love, you know, like let's not hate each other. You can have this view and I can have this view.
Right.
But at the end of the day, man, we're both humans. We both bleed red. Like, let's get along and just love each other, you know? So that kind of like tying back, whenever we, when I was in Becoming Sons, we played with Ammo for My Arsenal. You know, and they got some darker imagery on their merch, yeah. You know, but it's like after their set, man, I went and shook everybody's hand like, hey, man, good show. You know, like I don't want that stigma. Like, no, I think there's that little stigma that there are with Christians. Like, you know, they have their nose to the sky and they don't want to talk to these, you know, bad, sinful people and all that stuff. And it's like, right. Those people aren't real, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see a real Christian person, like, talk to me, man.
Yeah,
we don't have to believe the same thing for me to like you or right. love you.
Right.
You know, like, let's just get along, man. I might not yeah. agree with what you do, but we don't got to hate each other, man.
Yeah.
Let's move forward. Let's right. go get some tacos.
And shoot. Bro.
Let's
go. No, that's the thing, though. It's like, you know, this day and age, there's a big issue with, you know, people not believing the same or having the same beliefs as another. So let me go ahead and just cut them off and get them out of my life, you know, instead of just. Yeah. You know, still embracing them. Like you said, you can't condemn someone for doing something that you don't do, you know, because yeah. that's they're doing what they want to do. That's their life. Yeah. So they're going to do whatever they want. You're going to do whatever you want, you yeah. know? So,
and I think there's like a standard of, I don't know, like morality or something where it's like, you know, if somebody steals, it doesn't matter what you believe. Stealing is not good, you know?
Yeah.
If somebody murders somebody, it doesn't matter what you believe. That's still bad.
Right.
You know, so let's agree on the stuff that we can and then agree to disagree on the stuff that we can't and right. just move forward and live peaceful, man.
Yeah. Agreed. 100%. It's a good sure. message right there. So
thanks. But, man.
Yeah. And before we move on to the comp, let's talk a little bit about like your vocals. I mean, just in general, you know, how long have you been a vocalist or, you know, trying to build them pipes?
Oh man. So singing, I guess like singing the hard rock and heavy metal and stuff. I've been doing it. I want to say maybe about 2.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I struggled with for a long time was being comfortable with my voice. You know, I've definitely got a lot of negative feedback from people here and there. I've gotten good feedback, you know, so it's like, it's something that I struggled with, but it wasn't, I would say maybe the last couple of months is where I finally was like, you know what? I'm 100% confident in my vocal ability.
Right.
Of course I want to grow, you know, I still want to grow. I don't feel like I've, you know, reach the potential or anything that some of these other guys have, you know, and I got to see that with some of these vocalists that I tracked, man. They come to my house and you can tell that these guys been singing for years, man, because
right.
we'll come in, they'll do 2 or 3 takes, you know, the warm up, the good number one and the good number two. And it was like, dude, like, this is gold. Are you ready right. for the next part? Like, yeah, let's go. And man, some of these guys that came in, like, we track vocals in like 1.5, 2 hours. You know, somewhere a little bit longer, but seeing these guys, you know, that definitely made me want to push harder, you know, for myself.
Right.
But yeah, I would say singing, man, it hasn't been too long and I'm still trying to, you know, work on getting better, but I finally have become, you know, comfortable with my voice, man. I would doubt myself a lot. And, you know, shout out to John, my buddy in West Creek, man. He's told me from the beginning, man, he's like, I mean, the reason me and you are writing together, you know, one of the reasons is because I like the way you sing. He's like, if I didn't like how you sing, I wouldn't write with you, you
right,
know?
Right.
And that's one thing with him, man, is he's going to tell you straight up, which it's good. Like, you might not want to hear it, but you're going to get truth from the guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And that has definitely helped me build up, you know? And I've sent him tracks and he's like, it doesn't sound good, man. Like, it sounds like this. I don't know what you got to do, but try and make it sound different. And just taking his direction, it's helped me get better. And yeah, for sure. I would definitely like to, you know, eventually get to like some vocal lessons and stuff just to,
right.
maybe they're going to teach me something that I haven't taught myself already, you know?
Yeah.
Going to guitar, I taught myself how to play guitar. So I mean, it was years of trying to figure out, how do you do this? Like, I remember not knowing how to do a pinch harmonic on guitar.
Right.
It took me months to figure it out. Like, how does, you know, how does Dimebag Darrell do this sound on his song And I'm just there like, I don't know. And of course, like I said, this was before internet and smartphones. So I couldn't just look up YouTube like, all right, how to do a pinch harmonic, you know?
Yeah, so how to video, yeah.
I definitely learned, you know, everything the hard way. But having done it like that, I mean, there's definitely more appreciation for everything that I've done. And also, it gives me a little bit of originality because I didn't have somebody tell me how they did it. It was me figuring out how to do it myself.
Yeah.
You know, so doing vocals, I've kind of figured out on my own how to do stuff, but I definitely would like to, you know, venture out and try and get some, you know, professional lessons and stuff for sure.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, that's what lessons are there for. So you can, you know, build, help out with, you know, your craft. Like, there's no rule saying like, oh, if you, you know, take lessons, then that just discredits you completely. It's like, no, it's there for a reason, you know,
for sure.
And it helps you out. But, you know, going back to learning it on your own, you know, you get that practice in, you get tons and tons of practice trying to figure it out. And then you kind of build your own technique because you're not doing it on how a video showing you how to do it. You know, you're figuring it out and you're like, all right, this works best for me. So I'm going to use this. So.
I definitely have attributed my screaming, which nobody has really heard it with West Creek stuff too much because we haven't had too much of screaming in West Creek music.
Mm-hmm.
But the singer of a band called North Lane from Australia, man, I got into them a while back, and I tried to sound like him, and that kind of molded me into that being my sound, was my attempt to sound like him.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll have some tracks out there with me screaming, you know. And that's one thing we talked about. Paul actually asked me, he's like, hey man, are you gonna do any vocals on any of these tracks? And I'm like, I didn't, the idea is there, the opportunity's there, I just haven't. So I mean, maybe on the second round, maybe I'll throw something in there. But we'll see how it goes.
Right on, man. Let's go ahead and talk about this comp. What's one of or I should say, for the tracks that we haven't heard, or you know, the people haven't heard, what should people expect for like the, you know, the total outcome of the album?
So there's a few people that, like some of the vocalists, where I gave them the option of, hey, what kind of song do you want to do? Send me a song of a band that you like, and I'll give you my version of that song. One of the vocalists that did that was Jonah from Graves. He sent me a song of a band I've never heard of. I kind of dug it, and I was like, all right, cool. So it was me trying to write a song like that band. I had a song that I had for Kobe that I sent to him, and he sent me back his vocals. Kobe from Cerebral Desecration.
Yeah.
He sent me back his vocal takes that he recorded with Brian. And when I heard him, I was like, man, like, these kind of sound like black metal a little bit. I'm like, are you cool if I throw in like some strings or some choir in it? And he's like, oh dude, go for it. So it's kind of like all over, man. Like his track kind of went a little bit more of the black metal sound, like regarding the, you know, the effects. The guitars, I would definitely say not so much.
Right.
Maybe just some of the progressions, they have a little darker sound to them. Mm-hmm. But his kind of went in that realm. You know, other guys I try to write to their strengths. Rando from Ammo for My Arsenal. I asked him, I was like, hey man, what kind of song would you like? And he's like, oh dude, whatever. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna write a song. I wrote a song for him that was my version of Ammo for My Arsenal.
Okay.
So it was like me trying to write an Ammo track. So when you hear his track, it's Daniel's version of Ammo for My Arsenal with, you know, with Rando from Ammo. So
yeah,
I mean he liked it, you know, because it's in that realm for him. So
it's in his wheelhouse.
Yeah man, and it's definitely, you know, playing to a strong point. So there's a few people that I was able to write for their sound that I thought would work for them. Paul's another guy that I like. I wrote the track with him doing vocals in mind. I had Alex from Cauterize. I sent him the track, and he's like, I was like, I told everybody, I'm like, look, man, if you don't like this song, let me know, man. Like, I don't got no ego. I'm just trying to write the best music me and you can write together. Right. So tell me, you know, like, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Let's do something.
Be good. Real with me.
And Alex was the only guy. Alex was the only guy where I sent him the track, and he's like, let's try another song. And I'm like, damn it. Now I got to go write another song.
Yeah.
But no, man, his turned out good. I would say Alex's track was probably one of the more tougher ones to record. Okay. Just because of like the picking style. I mean, it's like alternate picking in between strings, and his definitely was one of the more tougher ones. But yeah, so it's real different, man. Like, there's all different kinds of sounds on it. It's all metal.
Yeah.
We did the one that we did with Roger Trevino. His was more like a rock song.
Mm-hmm.
So Roger's track is a little bit more in the wheelhouse of West Creek.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so like Roger's track could have well been a West Creek track. We just never pushed it a little bit, you know, we never pushed it as much. So when I had the opportunity to work with Roger, I was like, I got this track, like it was already written. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like write it with him in mind. I wrote it with me in mind doing vocals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hard rock, little heavy stuff at the end. But yeah, man, he came in and he had ideas, and we worked out some ideas, and they were just killer, man. Everybody who came in with their ideas, man, I really didn't have any issues or bones to pick with anybody's stuff, man. They came in and everything sounded great. Little stuff here and there where when we were in the recording process where it was like, hey, man, you know, maybe say this word instead of this word.
Right.
You know, go up with your scream, or let's do your regular scream, but we'll throw in a couple of gutturals just to kind of add some thickness to it.
Right.
You know, normal stuff when you go into a studio, but for the most part, man, everybody's tracks were, I mean, they were right on, man. I guess nice. Like they liked my music and I liked their vocal stuff, and it worked out. Everybody, I think, brought something good to each of their tracks, man, and it fit very well, I believe.
Right. So it's kind of like a melting pot of, you know, metal music, I guess you would say.
Yeah, man, and that's one thing cool. I think that's one thing that I really kind of dug about it too, was it was a challenge because some of the people, they send me bands that I never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, write a song like this. And I'm like I've never heard this band, so let me listen to them for, you know, an hour.
Yeah,
go home and try to write a song like that. But it's all over the place, man. There's a bunch of different kinds of sounds, but yes, it's all metal, and it was fun, you know. Like I said, man, West Creek, we do hard rock, you know, radio rock stuff. Mm-hmm. And getting into this more heavier realm, and especially like these bands that they sent me that I never heard, was all right, man. Like, you got to write a song like this now. So
right.
That was definitely fun, man. I one thing is I love challenges. So when all this kind of came out, it was just like, you know, it's my time to shine. Like, let's go, let's see what we can do.
Yep, for sure. And we can't wait, man. I mean, like I said, it's just something, just the tracks that we've heard so far, it's just, you know, gets us pumped to see what else is up y'all's sleeve. And the thing about it is, you know, to get a little bit more information on it, you know, it goes to show that it's going to be unpredictable. You know what I'm saying? It's like with the band that lets out, you know, their next album, you could kind of predict how they're going to sound. And, you know, a lot of them stick to the same things that they're used to. But in something like a compilation, you know, there's going to be different styles everywhere. And it's gonna, you know, some songs are gonna appeal more to, you know, someone that listens to that particular style, and then you know, vice versa to other you know, types of songs.
I would definitely agree with that, man. Some of these songs are gonna be like, you know, down their alley, where people are gonna be like, I like this one, but I'm not too into this one because it's extreme. Like we did, I did a track with Juan Garcia, and
Up on the Toes.
Yes, and his track is it's extreme, man. You know, it's definitely extreme. Just like you know, one of the first one I guess I released was the one with Lawrence Turney of Plainfield Grave. Mm-hmm. It was me trying to write, you know, an extreme track. So some of them go a little harder than my normal listening.
Yeah,
and some of them are right on. You know, some of them are to the left, some of them are to the right, but. Yes, they're all different kinds, but they're all metal. So I mean, if you're a person who likes all kinds of metal, I mean, it's gonna be for you, man. Especially if you like these artists' personal projects. Some of them are right in their, you know, in their respective band's sound. Mm-hmm. Some of them are slightly off, and it might give these, you know, the listeners a little bit more appreciation for the vocalists who, you know, did this or did that that they don't normally do, and give you a different perspective on them as a vocalist.
Right. And on that same token, it's like, you know, even though like someone listens to a specific style of metal, you know, they might just listen to that and then they listen to the whole compilation, and who knows, it'll open up their palette more, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it'll help them find a new sound that they might like, and like, oh, let me go and check out, you know, Juan's band or Jonah's band, and you know, see what they have to offer. You know, and not only that, you get the taste for different artists in San Antonio. And then not only that, but you know, with the help of like promoting and things like that, and getting the word out, then people elsewhere that don't know about San Antonio metal or South Texas metal in general, you know, they get a feel for it and they're like, all right, this stuff slaps. So looking to, you know, to what other bands there are there. So,
yeah. And I do think that it's going to be a good, you know, gateway maybe to kind of open up people's, you know, metal palettes for that, because it's me, you know, it's one guy taking on these different sounds and, you know, coming from the rock background, it's like a rock guy writing an extreme metal song, you know, a rock guy writing this, I don't think I did like a groove metal one, but you know, like a rock guy writing these different kinds of metal tracks. So I think maybe at that point is there's going to be somewhat of a more palatable sound, more of a mainstream take on these metal genres.
Yeah.
Because of that. So I do think that it can be that gateway, man. And hopefully it is, man. Like just get people into their, like you said, you know, after they hear the track from Jonah, they'll get into From Graves, you know, after they hear the track from Alex, they'll get into Cauterize, and the whole thing is just to spread everybody's sound, you know.
Yeah.
The people who like this band are gonna now like this band.
Yeah.
You know, people who like this band, they're gonna start liking these other sounds, and that was the whole thing. It's just the whole thing regarding this compilation was just to get everybody together, man.
Yeah.
Everybody together, everybody on one page. You know, especially in the times that this started happening, you know, right when kind of COVID started breaking out. I think all of this stuff started coming together at the beginning of April. So, you know, that was right in the thick of it, man. And it helped. I think it helped, and it's going to help just to kind of more people are going to appreciate more of the other artists and try to get it back to the way it used to be in San Antonio, at least for now. You know, hopefully we can branch out later. But to where it's, you know, everybody supports everybody, you know, it's not all competition and know, not staying for this band because you don't like them, like, you know, just support everybody, show love for everybody, you know, and hopefully they do it in return,
for sure.
Just have support, one big happy metal scene.
Exactly. And that's a lot of what I've come to notice about San Antonio in general. I mean, it seems pretty tight-knit for the most part. You know, you do got some bands that, you know, kind of stray off in their own direction, which, you know, it's fine. You know, you can't knock it. That's what they want to do. But for the most part, you got a lot of camaraderie down there in San Antonio, and it's good to see. And you know, especially with, like, Julian helps out a lot with that, you know, with Local Disturbance. And when he puts on shows, he already has other bands that are willing to, you know, hop on bills that he's going to put on for, you know, nationals that come in, or
for sure
other bands that come from outside the state. So yeah, it's real cool to see. Now, as far as like the comp goes, where does it go from here? Are you trying to, you know, have like 2, 3, 4, or are you just trying to take it one at a time, or what's up?
Man, I mean, I think like the big picture would be just to continue to go, you know, as much as we can before it gets like, you know, it's kind of like those bands where they keep going on tour and it's like, all right, man, like you're already, you know, 65 years old, like, just call, you know, call it in,
yeah,
know, throw in the towel.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll get to that point. But at least for now, I just want to do it, you know, one at a time. I know Julian has some vocalists already for a second and third. But one thing, one thing is I wanted to kind of just like, man, let's take it slow, man. Like, let's let this go. And another big thing is because I have West Creek, you know, West Creek is definitely my primary. So that's the primary, and the Daniel Best stuff is secondary. So, I definitely would like to write more stuff. Because, you know, being able to write these different kinds of metal music and stuff, it widens your creativity. You know, I'm not stuck to like, all right, let's do verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, you know, 3-minute song and send it on its way.
Yeah.
Like now it's metal and let's try different stuff. Like, I guess in that regard, this first CD, like I did purposely write short songs. It all started whenever I did the one with Lawrence, where I think his is under 2 minutes, man. It's real short.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I told him is I want a super extreme song. Of course, music I've never written ever in my life before.
Mm-hmm.
I want an extreme song, and I want it to be just like a real quick punch in the mouth and then go. Like, you don't know what hit you.
Right.
So that's how Lawrence's track came out, Antiparty. It was just a real quick, under 2 minute song, just punch you in the mouth and go. So I kind of try to keep that theme through this CD, was just have these quick little, you know, bursts of metal energy and all right, go to the next song, you know. So some of these songs are a little short, but I think like having that been like the theme possibly for this first one is, you know, next time around, maybe we'll go a little bit longer. But we'll see, man. It's kind of up in the air. But
yeah,
I mean, at least for now, we got the first one done. Get that released and start pushing it out, and see how it goes for the second one. I know, I remember you talked about on when you talked to JC about getting John from Snake Father.
Yeah.
Man, when I was in Becoming Sons, we played with Snake Father, and he's definitely a dude that I was talking to a lot regarding music.
Right.
We got along pretty well, and we were talking a lot about music stuff. So when I heard that he's a possible vocalist for the second CD, I was like, all right, man, like that's cool. Like I know the dude.
Yeah.
And we got along well. So to be able to write for him, that's definitely going to be, pretty sweet, man.
For sure. He's a good dude, man. The Snake Father's killer. Shout out Snake Father big time. You know, representing hard. But yeah, I mean, to know that, you know, he's going to be on it, you know, just gets me pumped for the second one. I haven't even heard the first one, but it's like, you know, we're ready for it. And, you know, we're excited to see this project coming out of San Antonio and seeing everybody work together, you know, like you said before, you know, it's not about the competition, you know, like who can, one up the other. Instead, you got to work together, you know, and build together, because it's only going to hurt you in the end if you're trying to, you know, if you hold grudges towards one band and try to like one up them and top them all the time and always, you know, kind of snooty towards them. So, you know, it's very refreshing, especially during this time. You know, there's a lot of division going on, and you know, that's one thing we don't need as far as the music industry goes, is that division. So it's kind of, you know, refreshing to see that camaraderie and, you know, you guys coming together for that.
And I think one thing that kind of, that I guess I kind of look back at is, you know, I've listened to the, Doc Coyle podcast that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he talked about was, you know, the metalcore scene that came out of, you know, Northeast,
mm-hmm.
Like everybody was supportive of everybody. And you know, hearing that, I was like, oh wow, like, you know, that's an interesting concept. But you know, he said that they would go to all the other shows, and dude, most of those bands, they all got signed and they all had a good little run at, you know, in that metalcore scene. Some of them kept going, you know, like Killswitch. Some bands, you know, they made it out of there. And, you know, I kind of, I guess maybe part of me hopes that maybe that's what will happen here, you know, is we're going to have this camaraderie, like you said, here in San Antonio and Austin, and branch out. Yeah. And, you know, maybe, you know, maybe there'll be a scene that comes out of this or something, you know, if right. at least not a scene, then at least, the, you know, the big, support for everybody here, man, like, and just yeah. show the love to everybody for sure.
For sure. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, the thing is, you know, there's a lot of talented bands in Texas. You know, you got, you know, bands from Odessa. I want to give a shout out to Brightburn. They're killer. Y'all should check them out. And then in South Texas too, like way south, down in the RGV, got some killer bands. Shout out Pulsis, and you know, a pretty big name band now, Sons of Texas. You know, they're making mm-hmm. a big name for themselves. So shout out those guys. And you know, like you said, hopefully something can come up out of Texas to where, you know, people can look back and it's like, man, you know, these guys really they held it down for each other. And then one thing I want to say, as far as like the metalcore scene booming, you know, out of the Northeast, is I just want Shadows Fall to come back, man. Can they just come back? I missed that band, bro. But yeah, man, I mean, it's all uphill from here. You know, we got to just take it one comp at a time, it looks like. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. But any shout outs you want to give, man, before we wrap this up?
Man, I don't know. I guess just shout out to all the vocalists, man, and their respective bands that were on this project, man. You know, for allowing, you know, not like they own their vocalists, but, you know, for allowing their vocalists to be, you know, to be a part of this. Right. And for each and every one of those vocalists to actually give me that opportunity to have them on one of my songs, man, it was a huge honor. And I got to talk with everybody that came and did vocals. Some people did vocals on their own, but most of them came here and they recorded vocals here, you know, right in the closet right behind me.
Man,
so the stew. I got to sit down and talk with everybody while we were getting all the stuff set up. And man, dude, it's humbling, and I'm completely, you know, extremely honored to have had these guys here doing vocals on music that I wrote. It's definitely huge, man. When I started getting all the names from these different vocalists, I was just like, I was stoked, man. When I heard Paul Meridian's going to be on a track, I was like, dude, like, I remember hearing Meridian, you know, coming out, hitting the scene, and
yeah,
they started getting a lot of buzz. And I'm like, dude, like, this dude's going to be on a track. Like, wow, like, that's going to be cool. You know, From Graves, the same thing. I remember when they first released their first video. And I was like, dude, like, these guys are from San Antonio. Like, wow, like, there's definitely a lot of talent coming out of here, man. And big to team. Have these guys, like I said, I was a little scared, man. I was intimidated because they're like the local celebrities, you know, especially yeah. when you get into like Kobe from Cerebral. Like, dude, everybody that came over was like, so, man, you got Kobe. Like, every vocalist was like, dude, you got Kobe. Like, and I'm like,
he's yeah, that guy, man. Though.
Like,
he's
yeah. Yeah. Everybody definitely looks up to him, man. So, you know, for him being a part of it, it's definitely an honor, man. It was honor, you know. Alex from Cauterize, I got him in the studio and we tracked vocals and we had a good time, man. Rando came in. That was cool to have Rando from Ammo, man. It was definitely neat. Juan, dude, when I got his vocals, I was just like, what? Like, dude, I mean, they're just,
dude.
I mean, I'm sure you've seen his, you know, he posts the videos of him doing all these different vocal covers, and I mean, dude, yeah. he's extreme, man. And
yeah.
So when I got his vocals, I'm like, dang. And then shout out to his bass player, man, Nate He, dude, he sent me bass tracks for the song, for Juan's song. And dude, his bass was just like, I told him, I said, hey man, when I wrote this track, I was kind of getting a Beyond Creation vibe, you know, real low eight string stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit of tapping here and there. And he's like, all right, cool, man. I got you.
Say less.
He sent me, dude, he sent me some bass tracks that were just like killer, man. And I was like, dude, like, this is, it's going to be sick for sure, man.
Hell yeah. Right on, man. Well, yeah, I mean, that's all we got for today, dude. I really appreciate you taking the time, you know, to come sit with me, talk a little about, a bit about the comp, but not only that, but just, you know, all your other projects too. So, you know, huge shout out to West Creek and, you know, again, all the vocalists that are going to be on this compilation is going to be insane. But after we end here, do you mind, like, after we disconnect, if I play the anti-party with Lawrence?
Oh, go for it, out? Man. You're good. Go for it. Yeah.
All right, Zuck, you heard it. You heard it, man. You heard it. But, yeah, dude, that's all we got for today's episode, y'all. We appreciate you tuning in. You know, be sure to check West Creek out. Also be on the lookout for the compilation when it drops. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, give that a share just so you guys know and can keep up with it and check it out. Also check, you know, West Creek out. You guys are on Spotify and all that too.
Yeah, all streaming services were on there.
All streaming platforms, right on. And then also, yeah, this is going to go up on our podcast on Spotify and iTunes. So y'all be on the lookout for that and check out our other previous episodes. And yeah, follow us on social media at The Devil's Mic, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. What about you guys, West Creek and all that?
Oh man, we're on all the platforms too, man. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. West Creek Official. We're on there, man. You might find a high school band out of California or something, but you know, we're coming up and
yeah,
soon, you know, sooner or later when you type in West Creek, it'll be us. But yeah, thanks, man. I really do appreciate you having me on here, man. I'm truly humbled and honored, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure, dude. You know, anything I could do to help, just let me know. We'll definitely keep in touch. But until then, y'all stay metal as fuck.